listening to The Cross. KNNA 95.7 FM, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Would you like to be able to speak about life issues like abortion or assisted suicide with courage and compassion? Hi, I'm Pastor Michael Salamek, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. We're an organization that exists to equip Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. We have resources available at www.lutheransforlife.org, or you can call us at 888-364-LIFE. That's 888-364-5433.
The Y-Files is a unique radio program here in Lincoln, Nebraska. We bring on guest pastors to discuss some unique and often difficult questions in relation to God's Word. We have had discussions about the validity of the Bible, is Jesus actually God, abortion, suicide, depression, and anxiety, why does God let us suffer, why does God let people go to hell, ghosts, and yes, we have even discussed the possibility of extraterrestrial life. Tune in every Sunday at 2 p.m. for a Y-Files episode you don't want to miss. While you're at it, be sure to go to our Facebook page by searching The Y-Files at 95.7 KNNA. Like our page, share our page, and send us a question that we will ask on your behalf. The Y-Files. It's a program for everyone.
Chupacabra, aliens, Bigfoot, Hayden Christensen. All elusive entities in the world, but those don't even compare to the mystery that lays hidden in plain sight. I moved to Nebraska to find the good life, only to find that it's not for everyone. I found myself in Lincoln, an unusually loud city in the fall, especially on Saturdays. Most of the year, however, people sometimes keep to themselves. That all changed in 2016.
Look, shh. Did you hear that?
What was it?
Shh.
Go! Found it!
You can't run from this.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Talk radio.
They seem nice, but don't buy it. It gets real Game of Thrones around here.
This doesn't make any sense.
Alternative rock.
This is tearing us all apart!
Oh, hey, stop, I'm a superhero.
A KNNA production presents.
We're running out of time! Too late!
No!
Off on a Tangent, Saturday evenings at 7.
You're not afraid of the dark, are you?
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'd like to invite you to join us to worship with us at Good Shepherd. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages in between. We also worship on Wednesday evenings, 6:30. Please join us, won't you? And may God richly bless your day.
Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/KNNA957. Like, share, and follow. And believe it or not, we are even on Instagram. Just search for KNNA The Cross and follow.
People, let me tell you about my bed.
No. Nuh-uh. No.
Why the track gets snapped up?
Not that.
Everything is awesome.
Give me that. There it is, 95.7 on the FM dial. Thank you, Soundtrack Telling.
Whether you need a guitar, banjo, or ukulele, a violin, cello, or bass, or a band instrument like a baritone, clarinet, or French horn, CGS Music has it. They provide sales and rentals of these instruments and more. They also provide repair services, workshops, and clubs where you can learn new talents and show it off. For information, visit cgsmusic.net. That's cgsmusic.net. Or you can visit the store at 1244 High Street here in Lincoln, Nebraska, 68516. CGS Music, where their motto is, "We dare you to enjoy the fun."
Welcome, Lincoln, to the Y-Files for 2019.
Hello, happy new year.
Happy new year, everybody, and Merry Christmas. Happy, what did you guys say on Proclaiming the One the other day? Happy Epiphany.
Merry Christmas, Hans Quantica.
Hummerama Quantumist. So welcome to the Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk, along here with David, and I'm joined here by our guest host, Chad Renter. Welcome to the show, Chad.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm excited to have somebody new on here with some different questions and that kind of thing, so it's great to have you on. I tried to encourage your wife to be on the show, and she looked at me like I was crazy.
I invited her as well, but
maybe next time. This question that you've got for her, it's her question. She should really be here for it.
And she was texting me as I'm sitting here for more questions.
Oh, yeah? So, yeah? You got to come on here, Don. You got to come on here. So this afternoon, we're also joined by Pastor Adam Moline from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Lincoln, Nebraska. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Moline.
Thank you, sir. It's good to be back.
And hopefully his voice can handle another hour because he just did both services today without... Mm-hmm. The senior pastor here today, so yeah, let's see how you do.
I'll be fine.
All right, so because we're starting a little bit later this afternoon, I just want to go ahead and get right into it. So, Chad, you are here for a reason, and you've got these amazing questions, and I'm going to hand it over to you. So, go right ahead.
All right, Pastor, why does Christianity seem so sexist? You have burnt male offerings. The apostles were all male. Jesus was a male. We have male priests, pastors. I'm just curious why it seems like the only thing that a woman was good for was to bear God's child.
Well, that's a question that's going to take quite a bit of time here to maybe talk through and answer. To begin with, maybe we should go back to Genesis chapter 2, when God creates everything, and when specifically he creates man and woman, and that'll allow us then to maybe go on and talk in Ephesians chapter 5 and kind of address the roles of man and woman, and then to understand it from what Scripture says. I think part of the problem as we look at this topic today is that we read into it our own modern conceptions and things like that. This idea of feminism that kind of leads to these questions is a new idea, one that's only been about for the last 120, 150 years or so. And it assumes things that Scripture does not teach, and it calls some things bad that Scripture upholds as very good, and so those assumptions and things like that maybe we'll have to address a little bit. So as we work through this, just let me know if you have more questions or if have a conversation about it. We're going to go back maybe to start with to Genesis chapter 2. God has been creating all the things that we know and exist in out of nothing, calling them into existence by the power of his word. And he forms the man out of the dust of the ground and breathes into his nostrils the breath of life, and man becomes a living creature. Now, all the other things when God created them, for example, the light, when God created it, he looked at it and he said, "It is very good." Now, when God creates the man, we have this from Genesis 2:18, where God looks at the man and says, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." Now, we have there for the very first time in the creation something that's not good, and that is man by himself. And so God, to correct that and to make everything good, is going to make a helper fit for him. Now, our English translation right there doesn't do us any favors in talking about a helper fit for him. The way it's worded there and translated into our English is kind of clunky. The way to think about it is kind of like you have a set of gloves or a pair of gloves that go with your coat, and you have one glove, and it's not good to only have one, because when you have only one, your other hand gets cold. It doesn't work. And so a helper fit for that would be the other glove that would match onto the other hand. So you have two sets, they go together and they match. That's the good thing. And that's the same word picture that the scripture is painting there. It's saying it'd be good if there was something to go with man that would match up to him and be his mirror image in that regard, if you want. Now, not completely a mirror image, right? Do we need to get into Captain Kirk? Do we need to get into biology and talk about how boys and girls are different? they have different
usually
parts.
I would say you wouldn't have to, but in today's society, you might have to.
You know, there's a lot of stuff for boys and girls that's the same, right? We both have two arms, two legs, a head, and a body. All those things are the same, and so we can see that they match up. But on the other hand, there are parts of boys and girls that are different that don't match up exactly. Boys have different giblets than girls have, right? Is that a good way to put
sure.
it?
Sure, yeah.
Thank you, yeah. And yet, the two parts do go together. They match up. And that happens within marriage very intimately. That is just the reality that those parts go together, even though they don't match up, and therefore they are helper fit for each other, or helpmates, if you will, like that pair of gloves that goes together. So I want a couple things to point out here. It's not good for man to be alone, so God is going to make a helper fit for him that matches up with him, that reflects him in a way that's beneficial for him. Now, to do that, to make that helper, God puts the man to sleep and takes a part of the man and forms that into the woman. Now, what part of the man does God take to make the woman?
The side.
The side, right?
Right.
That's key, right? Because God does not take a part of his foot and make it into the woman, as if the man is to step on the woman and put her down in her place. God does not take a part of the head of man to show that the woman is the head of the man, but instead he takes a part from his side, showing that the woman is to be there next to him, that they are helpmates, that they're fit for each other, that they go together. And as far as value and importance, men and women in that way are at the same value. They are side by side in that way. And so we got to have that understanding first. Scripture teaches that both men and women have value and are important to God, and that in that term, they are on equal footing to one another. Now, for good order, at the same time, we can't all be, what's the way to say it? All of us can't be in charge. Not all of us are the president of the United States, right? Whether you like him or not, we're not all the president. We have one president, and he is the one who kind of is the leader for our country at this time. And in the same way, then, God puts order into the creation as well with husband and wife, that the man is to be the one who is the head, and the wife is to be the one who submits to the head. And we're going to talk more about that, so just hang with me here. I know that already maybe we're offended, but we're going to understand what that means here as we look at Ephesians 5 in a couple minutes here. There is order that is created into the creation with man and woman as well. So husband and wife, while they're on equal footing as far as importance and stuff, there is a headship, meaning one person does have authority and the other one submits. And maybe that's where we have to go here in a minute to Ephesians chapter 5 and talk about that. But I want to this is the important part so far. Make sure you're with me and see if we have questions. Man and woman are both creations of God that have value from God, and that the woman is taken from the side, and both of that value is equal with one another. So are we on the same page so far?
If we got to take a quick break, we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Want to get a painting project started but just don't have the time? Indigo Painting is here to help. Indigo Painting does interior, exterior, doors, garages, accent walls, stain, foundations, windows, and even small drywall repairs. Indigo Painting. For more information, call 402-610-1872. That is 402-610-1872. Indigo Painting, where their motto is, "Your satisfaction is our priority."
Chuck Norris doesn't read books. He stares them down until he gets the information he wants. The sun doesn't set. It runs when it sees Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris isn't afraid of the dark. The dark is afraid of Chuck Norris. There is only one thing Chuck Norris is afraid of, and that's not downloading the free KNNA app on his mobile device. The app doesn't download Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris downloads the KNNA app.
On the air and online. Listen to KNNA LP 95.7 FM anywhere in the world at thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org.
Welcome back to the Y-Files. You know, David, one of the things that I didn't do was ask you to say hello. Say hello, David.
Hello, David.
That's our go-to dad joke for the Y-Files. And the other thing that I did not do is give contact information as well as the purpose of the show. Usually I do at the beginning of the show, and it's been like 3 weeks since I've done a program, so I'm a little rusty, apparently. So part of the Y-Files, we take some serious, tough, and even controversial questions, and we ask guest pastors to come on and have discussions about those. So if you have any questions yourself that you know we haven't done yet, or even if you want to come back to a certain topic, you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Y-Files. And or you could also go to the KNNA's Facebook page as well and link to the Y-Files there, and you can just send a message to me, and we'll get your question on the radio on your behalf. You can also go to thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org/Y-Files, actually. And there's an Ask a Question button on that web page. You can click on that, and that'll send you to your email, and then you can email me your question. So there's a couple ways of getting a hold of me. I would say you could call the radio station, but I won't be here. since you know, other than our live shows, the rest of the radio station's automated, so I may not even be here if you call. So that's the best way to ask your question. So the first question that we had, once again joining us this afternoon, is Pastor Adam Molina and our guest host, Chad Renter. Thanks again, guys, for coming on. The question that Chad gave at the beginning of the program is, basically, the question is, why does Christianity seem sexist? And so that's what we're discussing this afternoon. And Pastor Moline, you're really getting into depth about all of this. And
it's not an easy question.
No,
to
it's not.
And get into because there's lots of misconceptions in the world out there and misunderstandings. And to be completely fair, people claiming the name of Christian have abused what God has set up in such a way that there have been people who have abuse the authority given to them and mistreated people, and that's something that has to be corrected, and the only way we can do that is looking at what God's word actually says.
Now, Chad, off the air, you wanted to bring up the glove example that Pastor Moline gave. Do you want to repeat that?
Sure. Well, so you got a person that's right-handed, and you got two gloves. You got male and female, kind of how you use the gloves, but so is one superior over the other glove? Like, if I put a glove on my right hand, it might wear out quicker because I'm going to use my right hand more because I'm right-handed.
Right, and I wouldn't necessarily use the example in that way, but rather that they are a matched pair that go together. You have a left glove and a right glove, but you can't put your left glove on your right hand and your right glove on your left hand. They match for the hand that they're on, but yet they're both gloves and they go together and they create a set together, and that's the thing with male and female. They are different. They have, we could get all the way to the genetic level, there's different DNA chromosomes, there's different parts, all those things, they're different, and yet they're also the same thing. They're humans. You have a male human and a female human, and so that way the two of them match up and go together. We're gonna talk about what their jobs are here, and that's where we're gonna go next, because can I jump there?
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about authority. We talked about how they're equal in value, and yet there is authority built into there. And in our society today, we don't understand what authority is. We oftentimes confuse authority with power. Authority is exercising something over someone else for their good. Power is exercising something over someone else for your own good. So authority, the way it should work, for example, is our government. President has authority to do particular things for the good of the people of the United States according to the Constitution. We oftentimes in the media and even when politicians start to talk about power, that they are the party in power, they're the people in power, and that's for their own good. There's a distinction to be made there. Authority is for the good of others, power is for the good of yourself. And the same thing there with husbands and wives. Husbands have a position of authority, wives have a position of submission. And the place it talks about that is in Ephesians chapter 5. And so Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, we have these words: "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." And it goes on, too: "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself. Let the wife see that she respects her husband." Now, so often we stop at "wives, submit to your husbands," and so often we understand those words as women are supposed to submit in their husbands in such a way that they're barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen, and that when the man says, "Get me a beer," the woman ought to do it right away. But that's not what the Scripture teach. The Scripture says, "Wives, submit to your husband as the church submits to Christ." What does it look like when the church submits to Christ?
The church takes responsibility for teaching the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's the relationship between Christ and his church? What's Christ do for the church that we submit to?
He dies for it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get there. I would say to you that Christ gives and gives and gives and gives and gives to the church. He gives forgiveness. He gives life. He gives salvation. He gives hope, comfort, and peace. He gives and gives and gives, and in our submission to him, we receive the things that he gives. So when he gives us forgiveness of sins, we receive that with joy and thanksgiving. When he gives peace and comfort, we rejoice in what he's given. That's what it looks like when the church submits to Christ. And now this is what it says for wives. "Wives, submit to your husbands as the church submits to Christ." So wives are there to receive the things that the husband gives and to rejoice in the things that the husband gives and to be glad in the things that the husband gives. Now, what's a husband to give then? Paul tells us that as well. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." What's a husband's role in his authority in that relationship? What does Christ do for the church? You already said it, Chad.
He dies. He serves the church.
Yeah.
He's a servant.
Yeah. So much so, he's willing to give every single thing that he has for the church, right? He goes to the cross, is stripped naked. He gives up his blood. He gives up his life. He gives up all the things he has. He has no home or anything like that. He gives it all to take care of his bride. That's what a husband is called to give. That's what a wife is called to receive. And that's submitting and showing headship that goes back and forth between a husband and wife. Now, does that sound different than maybe the way people understand this particular text sometime?
Yes.
Yeah.
And does it match up with what we read in Genesis where the wife, the woman, is taken from the husband's side?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is that authority there. The husband has authority over the family for the sake of the family, for the wife and all that, so that he can do what he's called to do and protect them, keep them safe, watch over them, and guard them. This is the foundation block, then, for all of society. It's reflected, then, in government. That's what government is there to do as well, to keep us safe and guard over us from foreign invaders and things like that, and to provide the opportunity for us to succeed in this world. And we, as citizens of the country, are to receive that with joy and thanksgiving from our rulers. Now, why does marriage not work that way? Why does government not work that way? Why is there people who take advantage of these words and misinterpret them? What is the thing that all of us have that throws a wrench into this whole beautiful system that God has set up?
Sin.
Yeah, sin, right?
Simple answer.
Sin that, and what is sin's definition?
Not the will, the opposite of the will of God.
Right. And so even taking a step further, if it's not God's will that is behind sin, whose will is it?
It's our will.
Our will, right. We would say in theological discussion that the definition of sin is being curved inward upon oneself, seeking one's own desires over what God's word says or God's desire is. So when we talk about husbands and wives, male and women, men and women, I guess we would say, how does sin get involved in that? Well, a husband who's called to give everything that he has to take care of his wife, when he's sinful, what happens?
The marriage often falls apart.
Because he does what?
He benefits from his... He benefits selfishly from his authority.
Right. He uses his authority for his own good. Mm-hmm. Or we would now say this is not authority, but instead it is
power.
Right? He cares more about taking care of himself than his wife and, by extension, children. Furthermore, then, what about a wife? When a wife has sin, which we all do, what does it look like when she's not submitting?
Lack of respect.
Yeah. Wife's called to receive the good that her husband gives. Sometimes wives aren't very good at that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they do what? I can do that thing better than he can, or, mm-hmm. Nag and complain about what the husband's doing. That's the way sin gets in and messes up this system. That's why people have abused these words from Scripture, and that's why from a purely practical matter, there have been those abuses that perhaps have been misinterpreted as a part of the church. It's because they're sinners in the church. Every single person in the church is a sinner. Mm-hmm. And that result then is that these words get abused. Where are we at time-wise? Because there's more to cover here.
There's like a minute left, and then we got to take a break.
Pastor?
Okay. Yeah.
I like the authority, power, how you use that with authority, because Jesus had all authority, mm-hmm. and yet he served. He didn't use the power.
Right. And even...
He served his people as we're supposed to serve our wives as men.
And that's the beauty of all this, ultimately, isn't about husbands and wives, male or female, but instead it all is teaching us about the relationship between God and the church, between Jesus and us. And that's what Paul says here at the end of this passage that we read as well. So we'll have to pick up there, I guess, in a little bit.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, you're listening to The Wife Files. Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Adam Moline from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Lincoln, Nebraska, along with our guest host, Chad Renter. And we've been talking about the sexes and the relationship between man and woman and God, and we're not done.
Mm-hmm. Lot to go.
There's a lot more to go. So, yeah, while you're waiting during the break, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thewifefiles, and ask your questions there. We'll be right back.
We live in a
a sin-filled world, and the darkness of that sin sometimes causes us to be down, down and out, down and depressed. But take heart. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. This is Pastor Clint Poppe, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We would like to invite you to join us for worship and hear the life-giving, life-changing message of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for you and for the light of the world. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school and Bible study in between, and every Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Please join us, won't you? We're located just north of 40th and Old Cheney. And remember, Jesus says, I am the light of the world.
Is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Let's go. This is your radio, your station.
KNNA 95.7, Lincoln, Nebraska.
I'm Pastor Dreyer from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's a graduate school that serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in preparing men and women to serve within the church. More particularly, we prepare men for the pastoral ministry, as well as ladies for the serve as deaconesses within our congregations. Our overall mission statement is that we exist for servants of Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. If you want further information, feel free to give us a call at area code 260-452-2155. Peace be with you.
CGS Music is a locally owned music store here in Lincoln, Nebraska. CGS Music provides musical instrument sales, rentals, and repairs of both string and band instruments. Visit cgsmusic.net. Again, that's cgsmusic.net, or call 402-328-0677. That's 402-328-0677.
Want to get a painting project started but just don't have the time? Indigo Painting is here to help. Indigo Painting does interior, exterior, doors, garages, accent walls, stain, foundations, windows, and even small drywall repairs. Indigo Painting. For more information, call 402-610-1872. That is 402-610-1872. Indigo Painting, where their motto is, your satisfaction is our priority.
According to Rotten Potatoes, Off on a Tangent has received a 5-star rating. Reviews from listeners praise the show with comments such as,
amazing, good, intuitive, genius, stupendous, okay, marvelous, average, fine,
and other outrageous terms. Still having doubts?
Wait till you hear this.
They might be odd amongst others, like a gold tooth, but like a gold tooth, they shine the most.
And this.
I am always happy, because whenever I am sad, I just know that somewhere, somehow, there is an Off on a Tangent host who is pushing a door that says pull.
There you have it, folks.
Tune in to Off on a Tangent Live, most Saturdays at 7 p.m., repeats on Tuesdays at 12 p.m., and Thursdays at 7 p.m., and don't forget to like, share, and follow us on Facebook.
Off on a Tangent, an as seen on TV, life-changing event.
Welcome back to the Y-Files here on KNNA 95.7 FM. By the way, we're also in association with KRRCLP in Rogue River, Oregon, as well as KNGN in McCook, Nebraska. And there might be one other coming in. Not, I haven't heard from them yet, but I'm hoping they can get other radio Lutheran radio stations involved with our network that we have started here at KNNA. So to those in Rogue River, Oregon, hi.
Hello.
It's good to have you aboard. Thanks for listening. So this afternoon here on the Y-Files, I myself, Captain Kirk, and my guest, David, we are joined this afternoon by our guest host, Chad Renter, and our guest pastor, Pastor Adam Moline. And we have dived deep into the roles of man and woman and relationship with God. And I think it's going to, this might need to be a three-part series, Pastor.
I was going to say, we haven't gotten as deep as we need to yet.
I know.
That's the challenge.
I know. So off air, we were doing a lot of further discussion about this topic. And that was just scratching the surface. I don't even know where to start, guys. You guys were jumping around.
I had a question.
Yeah.
That kind of started this. As a foil to the statement, wives submit to your husbands, is it an accurate statement to say husbands submit to your responsibility?
It would be, so long as we understand what that responsibility is. The authority that a man has then, as we talked about a little bit earlier, is for the good of his wife and for his family. And the main part of that responsibility, as we read from Ephesians, is to give everything he has to take care of his wife and by extension his family. And then part of that authority, the biggest thing that a man can do to take care of his wife and his family, kids included, is to make sure that they know the faith and to be the spiritual leader for the family, to make sure the family goes to church, to make sure the kids learn their catechism work, to make sure that all of that in relation to God is going on. It's the same relationship then that a pastor has to a congregation. That's the same office in a way. That's why, is, you know, we need to get into discussing here eventually, is that's why we have male-only clergy, because that's a job that has to do with the husband's office, teaching the faith to the family. It's also the same thing then. The husband is the spiritual leader. God is the ultimate authority who serves his whole church by dying on the cross and rising from the dead. As Paul wrote, to wash us, to present us as holy, spotless, and blameless before him. All of this, he says, is a reflection of Christ and his relationship with the church. The original question that we've started down this rabbit hole with is, why does the church appear to be sexist? And the simple, quick answer to that is sinners misinterpreting what Scripture says, and sinners who are more concerned with themselves than what God's Word says. Husbands who don't love their wives as Christ loved the church, and wives who don't submit to their husbands as the church submits to Christ, the giving and the taking that happens in that relationship being broken. Also then, our society today does not value what we've just talked about in the same way that perhaps in the older times in the church we did. We have sin. In the beginning with Adam and Eve, they're created, they're married, and Adam doesn't fulfill his sacrificing for his wife by protecting her from Satan and his temptations. Sin enters the world, and in Genesis chapter 3 then, we have the solution to sin. First off, given to Eve, or to the serpent, I'm sorry, the curse that says there'll be enmity between the serpent's offspring and the woman's offspring, and the woman's offspring will strike his head, and the serpent will bruise his heel. This is foretelling us about Jesus, that there will be an offspring from the woman who will destroy the power of Satan. And then to the woman, we have this multiplication in the pain of childbearing, which is a reminder, how is the Savior going to be born? Where does Jesus come from?
Comes from the woman.
Comes from the woman, right? Specifically, the Virgin Mary. Allegorically, the church is that woman. And then ultimately, they're all descended from Eve's offspring. And so that promise that one of Eve's offspring will be the Savior, Jesus, gets passed on. Paul says, because of that, woman will be saved by childbirth, meaning eventually one woman will give birth to a Savior who will die for sin. Then to Adam, because he listened to the voice of his wife and ate from the tree which God commanded him not to eat, cursed is the ground because of you. You shall eat of it in pain all the days of your life. The sacrificing and suffering to provide for his family and for his wife has become more difficult and painful, and there'll be thorns and thistles. He'll eat the plants of the field by the sweat of his face. And eventually, also the promise is that he will die. Now, we have these words that are here in Genesis that tell us how a Savior is going to come and what he's going to do, and that it's going to be pain and toil and suffering until that time. And the way the Savior is going to come is how? Through
the Virgin Mary.
Through childbirth, right? There'll be a Savior born of Mary. Now, because of that word spoken by God here, the ancient society at the time of Adam valued childbirth and child rearing, because they knew that's how a Savior would come into the world. So they upheld that as the most important thing, because that's the way a Savior was going to come. Our society does not value that any longer. In fact, just a couple blocks away from here, there's a Planned Parenthood where babies are discarded left and right. We have this thought that, we're all guys here, why did we sign up for the draft? Not the draft, what do they call it? Selective service, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why are men traditionally the ones who go and fight war?
That's a good question.
That's what we're called to do.
Well, yeah, to give everything we have to keep our wife and family safe, because wife and family is where that promise of a Savior was to come. Mm-hmm. So we go off to keep them safe so that they can raise the children and continue the generations along. And we value women and that ability and who they are as people more than we value our own lives. That's the reason that it's supposed to be that way. And so all these things got corrupted by sin. People don't understand them the right way. And that's why I think the church seems to be sexist. Why should we have only male clergy and not women pastors? Because it has to do with the authority that God gave to Adam and to all men to be spiritual leaders for the purpose of sacrificing, take care of their wives. All these things are all related, and it's because sin messes up the relationship between man and woman.
So Pastor, I got a question. What happens if you have a husband and wife, and the husband chooses not to be the spiritual leader, doesn't take his kids to church?
That happens.
Then how does the authority, how does the spiritual head, does it switch to the wife then?
It's sad when that happens. It happens a lot in our world today, because I think a lot of guys think that church is a girly thing, when really it's not. It is a sacrificial thing for men to do that is actually really quite masculine. It's the definition of masculine. When a man fails in that duty, which happens a lot, God also puts Christians into a community where there are more people. So we have a pastor at our church, right? We have two pastors, in fact. Mm-hmm. And pastors are there to be that same relationship to the congregation that a husband is to a wife and that Christ is to the church, all these things, to sacrifice himself for the good of the congregation. And he can do that in the same way then to make sure that family gets the spiritual care that they need and to provide the education about religion and things like that when a father is not doing that in his family. And so, or not just the pastor, but there is elders and other people as well. God puts Christians in a community to provide the things that they need, because a sinful world can't provide it all.
You're listening to the Y-Files here on KNNA 95.7 FM and also KRRC, LP, and Rogue River, Oregon, the beauty of live TV. Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Adam Olene, and we have been talking about why does Christianity seem sexist? And that's a huge, very broad topic. Still a lot more. We don't have time for a three-part series. I haven't even scheduled you for two more weeks in a row for all of this, but there'll be time. There will be time. So anyways, and also joining us this afternoon is Chad Rencher, and he's been spearheading this, really.
Yeah.
It's all been you. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we got to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Harry Potter, Iron Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, Jurassic Park, Indiana Jones, Pirates of the Caribbean, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Avengers. Lord of the Rings, Legend of the Sword, Tron. Some of the greatest movie soundtracks showcased and spotlighted for you here on Soundtrack Time. I am the helmsman, and this is KNNALP 95.7.
Ashley. And we host Notes from the Stage, KNNALP 95.7 FM's one and only Broadway and movie musical show.
Every Thursday night from 5 to 6 p.m., we'll bring you the glitz and glam of Broadway musicals and Hollywood show tunes.
So tune in here to KNNALP 95.7 FM for songs from Beauty and the Beast, Phantom of the Opera,
and Chicago, and much, much more.
Nearly 1.6 million car accidents take place every year due to cell phone use or other mobile devices while driving. As a result, a 500,000 injuries and 6,000 deaths have occurred. Put down the phone and keep your eyes on the road.
Whether you need a guitar, banjo, or ukulele, a violin, cello, or bass, or a band instrument like a baritone, clarinet, or French horn, CGS Music has it. They provide sales and rentals of these instruments and more. They also provide repair services, workshops, and clubs where you can learn new talents and show it off. For information, visit cgsmusic.net. That's cgsmusic.net. Or you can visit the store at 1244 High Street here in Lincoln, Nebraska, 68516. CGS Music, where their motto is, "We dare you to enjoy the fun."
Welcome back to the Y-Files here on KNNA 95.7 and KRRC LP and Rogue River. I said it again, David. Rogue River. Say that five times fast.
Rogue River.
Rogue River. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Y-Files. And right now, we have been doing Facebook Live for almost the entire duration of the show. I kind of forgot to turn it on at the beginning. And you also notice, anybody who's watching, my camera is moving on its own. It's just slowly panning away from me. Eventually, it won't see me. I don't know why it's doing
that. It's moving on its own.
That's it's just the way I've got it set up. It's weird. So anyways, joining us this afternoon is Pastor Adam Olean from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Lincoln, Nebraska. And spearheading our conversation today is Chad Renter. We've been discussing a lot of the relationship between man and woman, the responsibilities, and that relationship with them and God as well. You know, we've gone in so many different directions, guys. I'm not even sure where we left off. Can someone help me out here?
Well, I mean, I don't know where we left off either, but maybe just if I could have a couple minutes to talk about the value of both genders.
Yes.
And by genders, I mean boys and girls. That value is there, and you know that God values both women and men because God sent his son Jesus for both. The blood and death and resurrection of Jesus doesn't just count for men. It counts for women as well. It's not that women will be saved just because their husbands are. There are some churches that teach that, cults that teach that. I should say that clearly. It's not that women are saved through their men. It is that God died for both men and women, and that shows their value in God's eyes. More valuable than the blood of Jesus being shed out and paying for them. And so that's maybe something to keep in mind. God values men and women both, and the church recognizes that and upholds that, and both have important roles and in the larger society, and both are important for those people respectively to fulfill their roles.
So when it comes to the creed, especially in the Lutheran Church, and in other areas and in hymns even, it says, you know, men. This is a lot about man or men. It never says
who for us, man, and for our salvation.
Yeah, yeah.
Or just brain farted on that one. That Jesus died for all mankind, right?
Yeah.
All of that discussion is more so a modern thing where we don't understand the ancient languages well, and we have this chip on our shoulder before we even get to discuss those. In the Greek, when we have a plural noun, and you're talking about a group, if you were a group of just women, the noun would be in the plural feminine. If you're talking about a group of just men, the noun would be in the plural masculine. If you're talking about a group that is men and women, it is still in the plural masculine, because the language has it set up that that represents men and women together in the plural. And that's been translated into our creeds, so we say who for us men and for our salvation. But it does not mean only men. It means a plural group consisting of men and women. But because in the original Greek it is written in that way, that's the way it's been translated and passed on to us.
Now, see, were I a feminist, I would say that the fact that the maleness in that takes precedence, that's an indication of a patriarchy.
Yeah, and I would say that would be you reading a modern interpretation that is less than 150 years old into a text that's 2,000 years old, and a difficult thing to do. And I know, you know, I'm not picking specifically on you. I'm saying,
well,
this,
I'm not a feminist, so
right. I think we have to be understanding, and that's why it's so important to be in church on a regular basis, so we can ask these questions and have the conversation and say, here's what we're actually saying and why we're saying what we're saying, because this is what Scripture says, and that way we can't read into the text or what we're confessing or saying something that's really not there. And I think that's the problem with a lot of the feminist movement in terms of its relationship with the church. It accuses the church of saying things that Scripture really doesn't say, and not having value for things that Scripture does have value for. And to be fair to them, like I said earlier, there have been men that have abused their authority and given it up for power instead, and that's wrong, and it's sin, and we call it that, but that doesn't give license for ignoring the rest of what Scripture says. One sin does not make okay another sin, but rather the blood of Christ covers all sins, and then we together as a church seek to continue on in that forgiveness of sins and in faith and repentance.
Now, Pastor, you talked about Jesus coming and dying for all, and men and women the same, but yet in the Bible it does say a woman is saved through childbearing. Mm-hmm. I remember reading that. What can you elaborate a little bit on what that?
That's going back to the Proto-Evangelion in Genesis 3:16, where God says that Satan will be destroyed by one of the offspring of Eve, and that through bearing an offspring, Satan will be destroyed. And that's once again telling us all of us have our salvation because, first off, Eve had children, and her daughters had children, and children all the way down to Mary, who had the offspring. And Mary gave birth to Jesus in a natural way, and the old-fashioned way, maybe you would say even. And through the birth of Jesus, all of us have our salvation. Therefore, woman is saved through childbearing.
And then God uses the marriage with the church, mm-hmm. and Jesus, you know, with the bridegroom, and is he giving us a template or a way to look at marriage between man and woman the way Christ, elaborate into the whole man service to the wife, because I think this is something that all men need to hear.
Right. When we read Ephesians 5, wives submit to your husbands and husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church, that, number one, does define what a marriage looks like. Submission and love, and those two things, giving and taking. But all of that that happens within a marriage ultimately is there as a reflection of how Christ and his bride, the church, interact with one another. We submit to Christ, men included, as members of the church, and listen to his word and rejoice in the gifts that he gives in word and sacrament. And at the same time, he sacrifices all that he has to take care of us. That's then the same thing that should be defining our marriages, our families, our congregations, and all that. The reason it's not perfect is because of sin, and that's where maybe confession and absolution is important. Husbands, when you mess up loving your wife as Christ loved the church, say, "I'm sorry." Wives, when your husband says sorry, say, "I forgive you." Wives, when you mess up submitting to your husband as the church submits to Christ, say, "I'm sorry." And husbands, say, "I forgive you." That's a word of confession and absolution that takes place back and forth, that allows that marriage to continue strong in the forgiveness of sins that ultimately has its source from the cross of Jesus Christ, who died for all sins, so that all of them can be covered over by Christ's blood and that there might be forgiveness.
All right.
Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Adam Moline from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and spearheading guest host Chad Renter. Thanks for those questions, or that question. Do we want to add more? We only have like 2.5 minutes.
I have another
question.
Should
we dive into something? Okay, go ahead.
Is it required, talking about the responsibility of men and just what that means, is it required biblically for the man to be the main breadwinner?
No, I would not say so. A man's main responsibility is to sacrifice, take care of his wife, and to be the spiritual head of the family. Now, what that means is that if there's a situation where the family does not have enough money or food or whatnot, the man is to give and give and give and do everything he can to make sure that everybody has what they need. That means maybe working 2 or 3 jobs, and whatever's necessary, do it to take care of the family.
Mm-hmm.
It does not have, on the other hand, a requirement that says the man has to make more money or be the main breadwinner. It's perfectly fine, and you're free, where Scripture doesn't say anything. For example, in this case, for a woman to make more money than a man or to have a job that where she makes more money than a man, there's absolutely nothing that is wrong or against the Scriptures in that regard. So long as the man is the one sacrificing, if there's a challenge, and working when necessary to take care of the whole family.
Hmm.
So,
right on.
Now, sin, everything's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We trust ultimately in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, because difficult situations arise where things don't work perfectly in this world. So, Lord, have mercy upon us in our sin.
Thank you, Pastor Adam Moline, for joining us this afternoon here on the Wife Files. You'll be back on next month, I think.
I believe you're correct.
I think I have you scheduled for next month. I don't know. Can we wait a whole month to continue on to onto these topics here? Maybe. I bet we could.
Yeah, I just got like 6 or 7 text messages, so I got a bunch more questions.
All right.
It's great. It's great stuff. Chad, I'm glad you were here this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
It's been great to have you, and keep those questions coming. And, you know, you are welcome to bring your kids up here if they've got questions. Bring them on up here.
Will do.
Bring them on up here.
There is, just if you have questions, there is a great book. It's really deep and maybe difficult to get through. It's called Christ and the Church. You can buy it at lulu.com. It's by a pastor from Iowa, and it talks about all these issues we've been talking about. So Christ and his church.
Great.
Christ and his bride.
Christ and his bride.
There we go.
Okay, Christ and his bride. All right, so that's all we've got for you this afternoon. You can always go to our website, thecross957.org, and you can check out our previous episodes from last year. Yes, I went there. From 2018.
See you next year, Jim.
That's all there. So you can go to that page. And also go to our Facebook page, like and share. That's all we got for you. See you later.